I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
How Christian is your life? Yeah, I know. But better yet, what does that even mean, right? What does that mean? Well, we've been talking about giving lately, and we've seen through the lens of Christian giving that Christian living is all about putting our money where our mouth is, or rather, our treasure where our heart is, and vice versa, right? It's the outer indication of our inner condition. That's life. As a matter of fact, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. That's it. Because, okay, here is a huge, key, important concept. Everything, and I mean everything, earthly, down here, is just a vehicle for showing, knowing, and growing our true heart. That's how important it is. And God gave it such a high priority because everything eternal up there hinges on the health, the wholeness, and the holiness of our heart. So, think of it this way. The Christian life is really just one ongoing heart examination because we're dead set on having healthy hearts to live out our longest life, right? That's what we're doing down here, which is why we're told above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. And so, we've been given this life down here to live in because it is where we can recognize and repair the one heart condition that is both universal and terminal, which is, of course, sin in all of its various forms in all of our various lives. But seeing the sin in our life as the symptom of our heart's disease is the way that we can take our spiritual temperature. And then once we've done that, from there, we can gauge how close to the dose that we actually are in God's given treatment plan, which is to just trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Okay, understanding. Now, here's how this works. Our heart defect is the killer. Right? That's the terminal condition that we have. But our mind is its partner in crime. I'll tell you what. And the mind matters this much because things, good or bad, can't touch our heart without making it through our thick skulls first. That's how it goes. Which is why we have to change our minds to change our hearts, to change ourselves, to change our lives. That's the order of operations. And that's how we get to the new you that is healed, that has that healed heart that can survive in heaven's high altitude, which is where we plan to go. And here's how Paul says it a little simpler. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. That's the sin. To be made new in the attitude, and literally the word here is spirit, the spirit, to be made new in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Out with the old, in with the new. This life right here that we are all living, this life down here was deliberately designed to challenge and actually change our hearts and minds. This place is where we see the symptoms that compel us to find a cure for our terminal heart disease. And our earthly lives actually pull this off by pushing us through three key spiritual steps. One, identification. Two, motivation, and 3, transformation. And we all begin with the same one, identification, right? I spent a long time on this one. Who am I? Still figuring it out. Who am I? Who are we? Where did we come from? These are innate questions that every single culture across all of human history has asked themselves, and we've tried to answer it consistently over and over and over again. From the moment that we were born, we're instinctually obsessed with our origin story and individual identities because we naturally know that if we could get these answers, well, they would explain everything else. But we want these so bad, we seek them so hard. We do need to be careful though, because the identity's illuminating influence, the power that it has to reveal that truth, also means that wrong answers have the power to confuse everything. You get that thing wrong and everything else starts falling apart. I'll give you an example. Early scientists started with the reasonable but wrong assumption that the sun revolved around the earth, right? So, everything that they built on that principle didn't work out until they challenged and changed their minds to see that it was the sun that was at the center, right? Well, same thing goes for us. The search for our origin and identity has puzzled people for eons and eons because, like those early scientists, we typically begin with the wrong, reasonable, but wrong starting point. Ourselves. You want to know who you are? You think you should start with yourself, right? That makes sense. Nope. Because the universe doesn't actually revolve around us, believe it or not. It's the truth. But in an us-first approach, we are only defined by what we have seen and what we have been. We can't see anything else outside of us, right? We need a superior outside perspective for an objective answer to say what we really are. Bless you. Trouble is, though, when we look for this outside opinion, that means trusting someone other than ourselves. And that don't sound nice. We don't like that so much. But right there, in step stinking number 1, God set us up for a change of heart and a change of mind. Because he'll give you an answer in exchange for your trust. You got to let him be that authority. And he set you up that way because he loves you. He wants to show you. He wants to look at you for you because he loves you. And if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, that old self and its sin, well, you will live. You live that new life by his Spirit in your mind. Spirit of your mind. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Well, we walked right into that one, didn't we? We are children of God the moment we trust him as that superior authority that we were born looking for. And that means our identity is defined relative to God because we're created as a relative of God. It's the most interesting thing about you is that God is your father. And we don't do a single thing to make that true. And this is, again, where things really get interesting and what separates us from a lot of the world. Being God's child isn't something that we undertake. It's just something that we understand. Right? We don't attain it. We just accept it. But if we stay stuck on believing that it's our behavior and not our state of mind that matters, we can miss our chance to make our change. And it's one of the saddest stories because he was in the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him because their minds were unchanged. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him because their hearts weren't humbled. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name as the Son of God, he gave the right to become children of God by adopting the Son's way of life as their own. Because when you know you as a child of you know who, You know his son is the picture of what you do. Which is why God was so intent on providing Jesus as this unflinching example to explain exactly who every single one of us are. Jesus was the role model that reveals our true identity, our full potential. And that's just, that's magical. It's incredible. I mean, we're special. Because in the past, God spoke through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being and our new self. And our identity inevitably leads to the next spiritual step in healing our heart, which is motivation. Because, okay, believe it or not, all of life's choices are driven by identity. It's true. And it happens really in two different ways. We do some things because of who we hope to be, and then we do some things because of who we actually are already. I'll give you an example. When I was 12 years old, eons and eons ago, I thought I knew who I hoped to be. I was going to be the lead guitarist for the band that changed music forever, man. That was going to happen. You can tell I'm halfway there, right? That's clearly the guy. So I got a job to get the guitar, and I grew my hair to get the look, and I got an attitude to get the attention. And yet, somehow, for some reason, it didn't ever actually happen. And looking back, I can see why. It's because the old me and his priorities hung around and held back the new me that I hoped to be. Okay, however, the flip side of that coin, the moment that I had kids, I just became a full-fledged father. I didn't have to hope. There wasn't time. I instantly was a father. So I got a crib because I had the kid. I got some diapers because I had the mess, and I got some pacifiers because I had a headache. That's how it worked. And the old me couldn't hold anybody back because he was shot dead on the spot. He's no longer there. That's not Noah anymore. Noah was now a new father, first and foremost, who just still happened to maybe play in a band from time to time. And this right here is what makes Christian living so unique. We don't do things because of who we're trying to be. We do things because of who God made us to be. And that's so different because most identities, even in other religions, go the other direction. They're built on behaviors that change who we are. While the Christian identity says who we are is what changes our behavior. Because God's grace made you, past tense, his full-fledged child, the moment that you made him your dad through Christ. And that's the ultimate identity, which we put on over all things. It's like the umbrella identity. That's the new self, which is Christ, which is love. And Paul pounds that home in several other letters. I mean, he actually harps on it more than I realized as I started reading. He says, put on the Lord, Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Okay? You're not a teacher or a dentist anymore at that point. You're a child of God who loves through teaching. And you're a child of God who loves through dentistry. That's what you do. That's who you are. That's your identity. And I know, listen, that this can sound like some fairly rudimentary stuff, but I got to say it because we rarely act like it. You know, I was talking between services and I heard a couple people say that. I was like, well, how should I say, do I really walk up to people and say, I'm a child of God? Yeah, try it out. Try it out or find a way. Find a way to work it in there. It's your identity. Let them know it. And we need to get our mind right because buying into our identity is how we convince ourselves to do things differently, different from the old self. Change your mind. Change your mind and the rest will follow because acknowledging means accepting and accepting means acting. And when you really know something up here, you know, when you really figure it out, when it clicks with you, it moves from your head to your heart and inevitably shows up in the work of your hands. It just does. It's natural. And that's where we see the third step in the healing of our heart, where we can tell that it's happening, because that's transformation. That's the good stuff. Even if we are already his kids and we know that, we got to grow up still. We got to grow up spiritually just like Jesus, which is not automatic. Wish it was, but it's not. Sorry. It requires a lot of work and effort to transform, because God's earthly goal for us is not comfort. It's character. That's what he wants us to be doing down here, because character means harmony between our head and our heart and our hands. And we should see three things in our character when our life is being lived out by a healed heart. And those three things are courage, consistency, and conviction. It should just naturally be a part of who you are, if you believe it, if you have accepted your identity. And to see courage, once again, our mind has to make the first move, because courage happens when we trust what we know over what we can see. Oh, that's tricky. But you know, one of the best examples that I've ever seen of this was in a scene in Indiana Jones. I think you'll remember it. Take a look.
From the lion's head, you prove his worth. It's impossible.
I love it so much. I think that's so deep. I mean, it's just funny how we accidentally stumble across these big truths in Hollywood movies and stuff. But boy, if that's not how God works, I don't know. Because it's such a great picture of the thing that you can't see until you take that step out in faith, right? And when you step out, it just becomes so obvious. You just get it. You understand it. You can't understand it until after the action. And God loves to work things that way, because that's how he sees where your heart is at. If he showed you the path, well, what did you really do? I mean, you just took the path. But when you step out in faith, oh boy, that's incredible. And our life in that moment becomes more Christ-like when we put on that kind of faith and we put off fear, the fear that holds us back. So I'm going to ask you again this tough question that we started with: how Christian is your life? Do you have the courage? Do you have that kind of courage to share your true identity in your daily life? Or is there part of the old you hanging around and holding you back with worries about how the new you will actually be received? That's likely. Well, don't forget how your role model handled it. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You just have to deal with your coworkers. That's nothing. That is nothing. You can do it, guys. The stakes are very, very low for us. I'm just saying. That's the worst that they got. Disapproval. Ooh, I'm not worried. I'm a child of God. Now, how about consistency? Is that in your character? It also begins with your mind, because it takes deliberate, daily dedication to reliably choose the things that only the new you does. No more of that old stuff. But we can't claim to be new until it's consistently true. As much as we'd like it to be, that's just wishing. A husband who's faithful most of the time isn't faithful at all, right? It only comes with consistency. That's what makes something true. And our life becomes more Christ-like when we put on holy habits and put off conflicting choices. You know, those ones that change kind of depending on what the world's presenting. So how Christian is your life? Do you choose to do what you know the new you should do? Or do you pick and choose to hang on to both versions of you? Well, knock it off. Knock it off. Keep it simple. It's really easy, as a matter of fact. How about whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God? It's that simple. There's your consistency right there. But when you don't, just repent. Repent. That's it. Because lastly, there should be conviction in our character as well. What we believe is true has to be backed up by thorough thought and actual action. And yet, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll often find that we turn a blind eye to the truths that we don't really like. But hear this. Willful ignorance is just another way to say stupid on purpose. I don't want us to be stupid on purpose. That's ridiculous. And our life becomes more Christ-like when we put on the total truth and put off even the little lies. So how Christian is your life? Do you bend your will to accommodate truth? That's what we should be doing. Bend your will to accommodate truth, or do you bend the truth to accommodate your will? Remember what Jesus prayed for his disciples? He asked God to sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth, okay? This is where it happens. Listen, the Spirit of God uses the word of God to make us like the Son of God. That's the new us. And that means that the Bible must become the sole standard for our measure of truth and the bedrock of our belief in the new you. So to sum this whole thing up here, all right, one scripture that I've always loved that just really says it all. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. That's not what it's for. That's not what it's for. But be transformed into the new you by the renewing of your mind. And that's what actually comes with actually accepting your true identity. That's it. You know, we can survive decades of religiously going through those Christian motions and never live a single moment of Christian life. And that's heartbreaking. Because there's so much more joy in a living room than there is in a waiting room. And it's high time to believe that we've already been cured of death. So let's get our mind set for life and start living it up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we love you and we worship you for making us new by making us see who it is we were made to be. Holy Spirit, guide us as we transform our minds and change our choices to live up to our true identity. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for your earthly example that made a way for us to heal our heart and live our life as a child of God. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.